Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the first Board of Public Works meeting of 2022. Happy New Year to all of you. I hope everybody was able to enjoy the holidays as much as possible. I can tell you, I had a nice COVID isolation for 10 days. It was like a staycation, but it's great to be back with all of you as we kick off the year. And I'm very pleased to officially welcome our new treasurer, Eric Davis. Eric, it's great to see you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, sir.
Good to see you too, Mr. Comptroller. Better to see the treasurer since it's his first time. Throughout his nearly 27 years in the House of Delegates, Eric really did an incredible job serving the people of Prince George's County, my home county, and the entire state with integrity and distinction. And I just want to start out by saying I'm very much looking forward to working with you, Mr. Treasurer. So welcome to the board, and it's going to be great. Comptroller and I are going to look forward to working with you in the months to come. Before we move on to the agenda, I just want to provide a brief COVID-19 update. Yesterday, we declared a 30-day state of emergency in order to take some urgent short-term actions to combat the current Omicron surge. We enacted two executive orders to assist hospitals, nursing homes, and our EMS workforce in addressing staffing shortages, and we mobilized 1,000 members of the Maryland National Guard to support existing COVID-19 testing sites and to open 20 new testing sites outside of hospitals all across the state. Yesterday, I also had a COVID briefing with the White House and all of America's governors. And one of the issues that we discussed was the serious national shortage of at-home rapid test kits. It appears that it will still be many weeks before the federal government is able to begin distributing more tests. Here in Maryland, we continue to acquire tests, and currently we have an abundant supply of PCR tests. In addition, last month, we began distributing 1 million at-home rapid tests through local health departments. And I just want to inform the board that in order to address this national shortage, we're currently working on numerous emergency procurements to deal with the multiple emergency actions related to the crisis, including the acquisition of as many of these rapid tests as we can possibly acquire from multiple different sources. As I said yesterday, the next 4 to 6 weeks will be the most challenging of the entire pandemic. And just to illustrate the gravity of the COVID-19 surge that we're now experiencing, I'd like to just briefly share some new data that we received just yesterday since my emergency declaration. Over the last month, we've been expanding our sequencing of COVID-19 variants, particularly those with an S gene dropout, which is a distinguishable marker for the Omicron variant. According to University of Maryland's Institute for Genome Sciences, 88% of all recently analyzed samples tested positive for the Omicron variant. And of those samples that were hospitalized patients, 91% have the Omicron variant. Omicron is now clearly the dominant variant among our states. Not sure what that blowback is. Can you guys hear that?
I can hear it, and I don't. Hopefully, it's not coming from my end.
Some kind of an audio problem there, but. Among our state's lab-confirmed COVID-19 cases, I said that, you know, we've had, we also have some additional data, brand new data from the University of Maryland Medical System, which shows that over the past 30 days, 74% of their hospitalized COVID-19 patients are unvaccinated individuals, and 24% of patients are vaccinated, which is consistent with what we've seen in the past. But the most important data point that we found is that only 2% of all of the COVID patients in all of their hospitals over the past 30 days were people who had received booster shots. So while we're going to continue to take whatever emergency actions are necessary to withstand the current surge of Omicron, I just can't stress enough how important it is to get your booster shot as quickly as possible. With that, I'm going to turn it over to our colleagues for any opening remarks, and I'm going to start with you, Mr. Treasurer. Again, welcome. And the floor is yours.
Thank you, Governor. And thank you, Mr. Comptroller. It's an honor and a privilege to be here with you all. I haven't been this excited since, I believe, early January 1995. So it's certainly a time for new beginnings. I'm here to learn, to serve on behalf of the entire state of Maryland. And just, I'm excited. This is a wonderful opportunity. I've watched you gentlemen do a great job along with Treasurer Kopp. She left me a note on my first day in office and told me to relax, remain calm, and enjoy myself. I haven't done any of the three as of yet, but I'm working on it. So in any event, again, thank you for all the assistance both of you have given me as I settle in here. And I promise you and the citizens of the state of Maryland, you'll get my very best each and every time.
Thank you, Mr. Treasurer. Mr. Comptroller, Happy New Year.
Thank you, Governor. And good morning, Mr. Treasurer. Happy New Year to everyone. Once again, I'd like to extend a very warm welcome on behalf of all Marylanders to our colleague, Treasurer Davis. He's a fantastic addition to this board, and I very much look forward to working with him in this new stress-free job that he has. And, it's a pleasure. It's bittersweet because we lost Nancy Kopp, but not lost, but she retired, and but now we have a whole new journey. So, Derek, call me anytime. I'm ready to help if that's necessary. But I don't think you're going to need too much help because you've been a fabulous leader in the General Assembly. Governor, I'm particularly delighted that you're doing well, and I have to say you look and sound terrific.
Oh, thanks. I didn't look or sound too good when I was doing a press briefing from my isolation.
Well, that's whatever. As long as you're on the path to full recovery, I mean, talk about the company you have. Apparently, we're having 1 million new cases daily in the country. So it's just something that's unfortunately going to knock on everyone's door at some point, I think. But I'm particularly pleased that we're able to do this meeting and have some degree of normalcy. I'm deeply concerned, obviously, about the significant threat nationally that the Omicron variant and the continued rapid spread of COVID-19 poses on the health and welfare of our residents here in Maryland. We've seen, as the country has, record-breaking numbers of new positive cases, statewide positivity rates, and hospitalizations. I want to echo the sentiments that the governor and I'm sure the treasurer agrees with, that it's vitally important for everybody to get vaccinated. The numbers don't lie. The fact that 84% of COVID-related hospitalizations are among the 8% of Marylanders who aren't vaccinated. Think of that for a minute. I mean, we may be slightly off depending on what days we're measuring. 84% of all the really sick people currently today, they're coming from a population of 8% of our citizens who are not vaccinated. That's the latest reminder why it's critically important to get vaccinated. Governor, we're all concerned with the difficulty that thousands of Marylanders are experiencing in getting tested or finding at-home test kits. It's obviously alarming to see long lines of people waiting to get tested or get their hands on a couple of at-home tests. Many of them are waiting for hours. But Governor, I want to thank you. Sincerely, thank you for declaring a state of emergency. I think it's definitely warranted, given the record-breaking numbers that we're seeing. And I'm delighted to learn that under your direction, the state will be increasing the number of testing sites, in addition to the two new test sites in Anne Arundel and Harford counties, I believe. Those are the sites you're talking about. You may want to look at additional sites. Unfortunately, I don't mean to, this is obviously, I'm sure you are already, but I sincerely hope, Governor.
Yeah, Mr. Comptroller, we're standing up 20 new additional sites with the National Guard that we announced yesterday.
Well, it's what the public deserves, obviously, because standing for hours in line is not acceptable. But I'm glad to hear that. I also think that the state should consider taking a lead in implementing common sense public health measures, including instituting a statewide mask requirement in public spaces, as some jurisdictions already have implemented. It's kind of going on in a patch quilt around the state. And as you said in your press conference yesterday, everyone just needs to wear the damn mask. I mean, that's not completely protective, but if you're vaccinated and you're boosted and you have a mask on, at least you have, you're doing what common sense would say. And to the extent we can all agree on something like that down the road, I would be more than happy to join in. But Governor, once again, I would like to take a 10-day vacation also, but I know it wasn't a vacation and I know there's a lot of stress involved, and I just want to reach out and say, you know, we didn't have any backup on Route 95 in our state.
Well, yeah, we look, it was a difficult snow situation, Mr. Comptroller, and we did have some issues on some of our roads, but obviously it wasn't quite as bad as our neighbor to the south. And but thank you. And the staycation wasn't bad, actually. I worked through most of it. I was, you know, doing lots of phone calls, but I did get to binge a few TV shows because I'm never home in the evenings to watch them. But you don't want that kind of a staycation. You know, you should just try.
I don't want to know what shows you're watching either.
Yeah. All right. Well, great. Well, thank you. Let's welcome to everybody. And let's go ahead and get started with the Secretary's agenda.
Morning, Governor, Mr. Comptroller, Mr. Treasurer. Happy New Year. It's wonderful to be with you for this, the first meeting of the 158th year of this body. There are 14 items on the Secretary's agenda this morning, and there are 4 reports of emergency procurements. I'm happy to assist with answering any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Are there any questions on the Secretary's agenda? Is there a motion to approve?
I have a question, not a question, just a comment on item 7. It's a $3 million loan from the Department of Housing and Community Development's Neighborhood Business Works Program to Clean Nanomedicine, Inc. to support an expansion of a new multi-million dollar production center in Elkton, specializing in pharmaceutical drugs to treat multiple sclerosis, ALS, and Parkinson's. This new state-of-the-art manufacturing operation in Maryland is expected to bring nearly 500 new jobs to Cecil County. Thanks to the partnership between DHCD and the Department of Commerce, we were able to keep them. This is a company that was going to relocate to Pennsylvania from Maryland. And we gave them a variety of grants. And the last one is the one we're approving today. And that means they're staying here in Maryland. It's a great example of government stepping up and providing assistance, keeping a Maryland company in our state, saving hundreds of thousands of jobs. The economic impact and tax revenue that the company generates is, as far as I can tell, significant. And I'm very excited about the project, and I look forward to touring the facility once it's completed, and maybe the three of us could do that together.
Well, thank you for pointing that out, Mr. Comptroller, and that'd be terrific. I want to, you know, second that and give a shout out to DHCD and the Secretary Holt and the team. I think it's a terrific effort to keep jobs in the state, and proud to have this company making the decision to stay. So maybe we'll do that. We haven't been out on a road trip in a while. Maybe we'll get the treasurer and go tour the facility.
I do have a question. Just speaking of shout outs on item 13, this is a $59 million bond issuance by the Maryland Stadium Authority to help construct the Hagerstown Multi-Use Sports and Events Facility. What's this? This is a much anticipated minor league ballpark that's going to be constructed in downtown Hagerstown. And it's something that I have championed for years. And I am just over the moon that we're going to be able to host the Atlantic League of Professional Baseball in Hagerstown. It's a huge step forward for the downtown community there. Back in 2012, almost 10 years ago, I said this project was a must do, and I'm incredibly pleased to be voting in favor of this item today. It's a long overdue investment in downtown Hagerstown. It's going to be an economic driver for the region, creating much needed jobs, spurring tourism, generating revenue. I particularly want to thank Mayor Emily Keller and the Hagerstown City Council, because, you know, people picketed my house years ago in Tacoma Park when I was voting for the Raven Stadium and Camden Yards. They said, we want schools, not stadiums. But it was the right thing to do. And I'm just glad that the council and the mayor were able to overcome some of the local opposition, because this is going to have a lasting impact on generations of Marylanders in Western Maryland.
Yeah, thank you.
I would move approval to the agenda.
Thank you, Mr. Comptroller. And again, thanks for the shout out. Tom Kelso and Mike Friends at the Stadium Authority deserve a lot of credit for moving forward on this. And it's going to make a huge difference in Hagerstown and Washington County. And we're also building all the schools as well with record school construction. We're able to move forward on every single request by every single county all across the state. So
if it's proposed in Tacoma Park, it's always controversial. That's all I can say. But I appreciate all my neighbors. And, you know, thank you for that, putting that in, that the state is spending record amounts on school construction.
Yeah, thank you. So there's a motion on the floor to approve the secretary's agenda. Is there a second? I think you're on mute, Mr. Treasurer, but I saw you mouth a second. Maybe we'll put the sound back on. And yeah, very good. Okay, the motion carries 3-0. And now we're going to move on to the DNR real property agenda.
Hi, good morning, Governor, Mr. Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller. For the record, Jeannie Hadaway Riccio, Secretary of the Maryland Department of Natural Resources. We have 10 items on our real property agenda today for which we are seeking approval, and we're happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Happy New Year. Are there questions on DNR?
Mr. Treasurer?
No questions.
I would move approval.
Is there a second?
Second.
Very good. Thank you, Madam Secretary. 3-0. We're going to move to the university system agenda.
Good morning, Governor, Mr. Comptroller, Mr. Treasurer, Tom Hickey, representing University System of Maryland. We have 3 items on our agenda this morning for your consideration. Is there any questions you may have?
Thank you, Tom. Good to see you. Happy New Year. Any questions on the university system? Or is there a motion?
I just want to comment. One of these items I'm voting for is something that I have objected to for many, many years. And I just hope the system will adopt to a design, bid, build process like the state of Maryland has in its construction. And I note all of the money that's being spent for construction managers at risk. I just want to alert the system that to the extent I'm here, I hope to see that. I hope to see that changed down the road, because I think there's significant savings that can occur there. But I'm going to, in the spirit of the new year, vote approval.
Thank you, Comptroller,
for the agenda.
Very good. Is there a second? Treasurer seconds. That moves 3-0. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And now we're going to move on to the Department of Transportation. And I just want to take a brief moment, as I did yesterday, to recognize and thank Secretary Slater. Sadly, this is his last. It's the Treasurer's first Board of Public Works, and it's Secretary Slater's last Board of Public Works. And Greg has made countless contributions and just done an incredible job as MDOT Secretary the past 2 years after spending 21 years at State Highway Administration. And under his thoughtful leadership, Department of Transportation has made incredible progress on the infrastructure across the state. And we really do owe him a tremendous debt of gratitude for his outstanding service. I think that big snowstorm yesterday, Mr. Secretary, was a nice farewell gift for you. And before you go, you'd finish up. There's going to be more Thursday and Friday, so I know you don't leave until Monday. It's interesting, Greg, when he first came in and he was appointed MDOT Secretary, he was at the time the SHA administrator, and we had a massive snowstorm. So he was doing both jobs and taking care of the snow. So we just wanted to make sure you went out with a bang. But thank you, Mr. Secretary. We wish you well in your future pursuits. We'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, sir. I'll take a minute and just say thank you to the board for your trust and faith over the years. I know when I started back in the survey division of SHA in the late 90s, I didn't even know who the secretary was. So I never envisioned being in this seat, but we sure got a lot done and we sure worked hard. We got our budget back to pre-pandemic levels. We got our MVA customer connect system on board. We got a second 50-foot berth with a new set of cranes, and we finally got the Howard Street Tunnel underway. You know, we were able to get the AV connector and the baggage handling system underway. We got a developer for the American Legion Bridge on board. You're going to hear the Purple Line later on this month. And we've got a robust program and a super strong team. I just want to thank them as well. The team is strong and ready to continue to progress under Executive Director Ports coming in after two stints as deputy secretary. He also served on the federal side with NHTSA and led Harford County Transit. So it was a tough decision, but Jim Ports is the right guy to kind of push forward and finish this out. So I just want to thank you for all the faith and trust over the years. It has been the honor of my life. With that, for the record, I am Greg Slater, Secretary of Maryland Department of Transportation, and I'm presenting 11 items for your consideration today.
Thank you very much, Mr. Secretary. Are there any questions on the transportation agenda or any maybe comments for Secretary Slater?
Governor?
Yes, sir.
If I may, sir, I just want to congratulate Secretary Slater on all of his work. I've had in my other capacity the opportunity to work with your office, and I certainly appreciated the interaction and the hard work of your employees. So I just want to extend my thanks and best wishes.
Thank you, Mr. Treasurer. Any questions?
I'm happy to extend mine also. I think everybody knows and has heard over the years my admiration for the professionalism and excellence. I will just reinforce that by saying I'm going to take a very close look at these big projects that Secretary Slater has shepherded, American Legion Bridge, Purple Line, particularly, because these are very, very important projects, and they were not in great shape all the way, not doable really under the previous secretary, and Mr. Slater has reversed that. So his departure is, as much as I wish you good wishes, Greg, wherever you're going to end up, where I think this begs for a closer review of how these big projects that you rehabilitated are actually going to continue down the road.
Thank you. Are there any questions on the secretary's agenda, on the transportation agenda?
If the treasurer doesn't have one, I have one that just is.
Sure.
It's a one-year, it's item number 5, $3 million renewal for medical transportation management of St. Louis. So I just find it troubling on this particular contract that nearly 3 years into a contract with this company with a 29% MBE participation goal, the vendors only achieved 19% compliance. And I guess if I could ask the new Administrator Arnold, what steps is the vendor planning to take in order to meet their MBE goals during this one-year extension of the contract?
Absolutely. Thank you, Mr. Comptroller. Administrator Arnold, I believe, is on the call. She and I had the similar discussion on these, and she can kind of illustrate how that went. Holly?
Hi, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, we hear you, Holly.
Hi, good morning, Governor, Treasurer, and Comptroller. For the record, my name is Holly Arnold. I'm Administrator at the Maryland Department of Transportation, Maryland Transit Administration. This vendor has been on board for a few years, and we did have a few issues when the pandemic was starting with them meeting their MBE and VSBE goals. They became non-compliant during the pandemic because they were forced to furlough some of their staff through their subcontractor due to those social distancing guidelines that we were enforcing. We've been working very closely with them throughout, and they have provided us with a corrective action plan. They're confident that the goals will be achieved during the renewal option period, and we're going to be working very closely with them. I have on here as well with me, if you have additional questions, our Director of Mobility, Josh Wolf, if you want more details on that.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that answer, and everybody has problems brought on by COVID. But I'm glad to see that you have got some conversations where we can perhaps not only meet but exceed that goal once we get back to some normalcy. I would like to ask about MTA Mobility's on-time performance rate. I understand that it's the worst it's been in 5 years. And also, once again, I'm not pounding the table here because COVID has interfered with a lot of things. But these are particularly vulnerable citizens, and to the extent they're stranded, obviously that's not acceptable. But maybe the MTA mobility expert could tell me whether this is going to be something that can be rectified.
So I can jump in. So absolutely, we are not at all where we need to be, and are working diligently to get back to the on-time performance that our customers need and deserve. As you noted, these are some of our most vulnerable passengers. And so this is receiving full-time attention from our staff and from me. We've done a number of actions, and you'll see some coming up to the board in the upcoming months. One is that we have increased the wages for our operators to try and attract more operators into the contractors. That has had some impact, so we've started to see our on-time performance increase over the past couple of months. Again, still not where it needs to be, but it has increased. We have increased the amount that we allow for our call a ride, which is a supplemental service. So for those who want to use it, it used to be they would pay $3 and we would cover up to $20. Now we cover up to $40. So it very much increases the amount that they're able to go and travel via that service. And we're also looking at different options for across the industry in terms of what other companies are doing to see what we can do to continue to focus on this. Because again, we know it's not where it needs to be, and we're not going to let our foot off the gas getting back to where we need to be.
Yeah, and let me just say thank you for that answer. And I know you're on top of this situation, and I just want to compliment Administrator Arnold on her recent appointment as MTA Director. This is an individual who has years experience. And it's really an exceptional choice for this role. And so to the extent you can look forward to working with anybody, count me in, because I think you're moving in the right direction, or you will move in the right direction. Thank you for that.
Thank you, Governor.
Thank you for that appointment, Governor. I don't mean to leave you out on this stuff, but
no, not at all.
Holly is terrific.
Yeah, no, thank you very much. She is, and we're proud to have her on the team. And, I just want to let you know that the Secretary Slater is not going to be slacking off in the last few days. We have a big meeting tomorrow to go over the infrastructure bill, how we're going to implement the funding coming from the federal infrastructure bill that passed. He's going to be dealing with the rest of the snow. And so we're going to work on, we're going to get our money's worth out of the guy right down to his last day on Monday, just in case you were wondering. But
make sure he doesn't give up his cell phone number.
Yeah, I will be reaching out with some, I told him that yesterday, that we'll be, wherever he ends up, we're going to be bugging him still. But so any questions, any other questions, or is there a motion on the transportation agenda?
Move approval.
Second.
Thank you. Passes 3-0. Thank you very much, Mr. Secretary.
Thank you.
And now we're going to move on to the Department of General Services. And before I turn it over to Secretary Churchill, I just want to take a moment to welcome Mike Zimmerman as the new Chief Procurement Officer for the Department of General Services, the Office of State Procurement. Mike has dedicated his career to improving procurement policies and procedures, having worked in the industry for over 40 years and serving as the Maryland Department of Transportation's Chief Procurement Officer for the past 6 years. Mike's work on the Commission to Modernize State Procurement was instrumental in guiding the reorganization of state procurement, and we're very much looking forward to continued progress under his leadership and his new role. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Secretary Churchill.
Well, good morning and Happy New Year, Governor, Mr. Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller. For the record, I'm Ellington Churchill, Secretary for the Maryland Department of General Services. The department is, as you've already mentioned, Governor, welcomes our new Chief Procurement Officer, Mike Zimmerman, and we thank you for that appointment. He's going to do excellent work to continue the efforts of the Office of State Procurement. Today, we are presenting 41 items on our agenda, and we are withdrawing item 34. The agenda features $19.2 million in capital grants and loans, including $9.9 million for the Garrett College Community Education and Performance Center, and $4.2 million for the Community College of Baltimore County's Wellness and Athletic Center. We are awarding 12 contracts to small business enterprises and 9 contracts to minority business enterprises and 1 veteran small business enterprise. And we have representatives available to answer questions that the board may have at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Are there any questions on the DGS agenda? Is there?
I have a couple of questions if the treasurer doesn't.
I do not.
Good. Item 24, please.
Yes, item 24, which involves the Department of Public Safety, Correctional Services. We do have Secretary Green available along with other agency representation.
Terrific. It's my understanding it's a 5-year, $67 million contract with Correctional Dental Associations for dental services for inmates in Maryland correctional facilities. It's my understanding the Correctional Dental, the recommended awardee, has held this contract since 2011 and submitted, this is what I'm concerned about, submitted the only acceptable bid. Only two came in, but one of them was ruled ineligible or something, I guess. And according to my background materials, there are 41 firms that have been identified in the EMMA website as capable of providing these dental services. So my question to Secretary Green, I guess, is how specialized are these dental services? Why aren't we getting additional bids from other companies? Because this is now, let's see, more than 10 years that we have done business with this firm. And I'm not suggesting they don't do a good job. I'm just saying, how's the public assured that, in fact, there's competition out there and we're getting the best services and finances as far as these bids? But how do you know, I sometimes kid people and say, sometimes our procurement system looks like an incumbent vendor protection program because they keep popping up and being given to the incumbents. But at least in most of those instances, there's competition where other companies have bid. And I'm not exactly sure why we don't have more competition here.
Yeah. Mr. Secretary, Happy New Year.
Happy to address that question, Mr. Comptroller. For the record, my name is Robert Green, Secretary of the Department of Public Safety and Correct Services. Good morning, Governor, Mr. Comptroller, and Treasurer Davis. I noted by the governor early, I was experiencing a little bit of problem hearing, so hopefully you can hear me okay.
We're having a little bit of a problem with hearing you as well. It sounds like a little bit of a, you know, we can hear you, but, you know, it's a little bit intermittent.
Understood, and my procurement becomes a distraction. My procurement director is on the line to immediately jump in with Mr. Sell. Director Sal, if you would please get on the line to assist. This contract was originally advertised in 2020. Offers rejected.
Governor, I think we may have a problem with the audio, and maybe the procurement person has. I'm not looking for a complete thesis on all this. I'm just wondering why this company has had this contract so long, and here we are approving a single bid contract for continuation of their services. So maybe your officer can.
Yeah, Mr. Secretary, if you have somebody else that can address it on a different computer, maybe we can hear better.
Very good. Hopefully they are jumping on.
One more time with the name, please, Mr. Secretary. Secretary Green, to the extent you can, feel free to email just the name of the person you would like to address the board.
Good morning. I think I'm on now.
There you go.
Good morning, Mr. Governor, Mr. Comptroller, Mr. Treasurer. For the record, my name is Joe Setatal. I'm the Director of Procurement for Department of Public Safety and Correctional Services, and I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
So I'm going to support this contract because obviously it's critical people get dental services, but I'm incredibly disappointed that we're approving another single bid contract for these services. What is the difficulty with getting some competitive bids? in this area. I don't know whether you listened to my comments, but I believe there are 41 firms around the country that have been identified by you guys as capable of providing these dental services.
Well, I think there's a couple things to handle there. One is that when looking at the IMA, the number of firms that are under IMA, that includes small dental practices that might have been able to bid on a contract on a small dental capacity. This is a large management contract for the entire correctional institution. So when you look at the 44 number, that's really a misleading number of who could actually perform on a large scale. Additionally, regarding the amount of competition that we're getting, we did receive two proposals and we've received multiple proposals before. And I can assure you that we've exhausted every opportunity to try to get as much competition as possible. But given, I think, the scale of this contract, it's something that there aren't as many people that can perform the work, but we do everything possible to ensure that anyone that does bid or anyone that does submit a proposal is passed through to the next opportunity and evaluated accordingly.
And what are the other vendors saying to you? I know you do post-bidding analysis. You may not have done it, but what are they typically saying to you? They're just not big enough to handle this kind of a contract?
So unfortunately, we've reached out and we haven't received responses back from some of these folks that don't bid. In the instance on the supplier that was ultimately deemed not susceptible for award, unfortunately, part of the issue, and we gave multiple peer notices to try to allow them to come in and actually be deemed susceptible for evaluation. There were technical issues that they couldn't overcome.
Well, let me just suggest something as someone who's looked at these things for now 15 years on the Board of Public Works. Why not go to the 47 states that don't use this company for their correctional dental services and find out some of the companies that are doing their statewide programs and think about somehow at least communicating with them so that we end up with three or four bids that we can be assured that the taxpayers of Maryland are getting a good deal, because there it is, competitively bid. And so I'm not suggesting I want your job. I'm just saying that I would, love to see what happens in other states, because obviously I think this company is only working in three states.
Yeah, Mr. Comptroller, let me just weigh in with information we've got here. This contract was advertised in 2020 and received two bids. Both offerers were rejected because of MBE issues that weren't curable, that they couldn't address. So the solicitation was canceled in February of 21. It was resolicited in June. Two proposals were received. But one was deemed not acceptable because they were failed to provide licensing information. It's not as if the department seems as if they've been trying. There aren't a lot of people that can meet the requirements that we have for these contracts.
Procurement head, could you please survey the other states that are in the situation we're in of having to bid out a large correctional dental service? And apparently 47 of them do not use this company. They use someone else. So maybe we could expand the pool. I understand what the governor is saying, but it sounds to me like we have an RFP process. It sounds to me like we may not have the right people in our group that we're reaching out to. And, I hesitate to, from the outside looking in, it seems as if, these incumbent vendors have a position where there are no other bids. So if you could just get back to us about that, I don't want to block
holes. I think that's a good suggestion to get back and get us that information the comptroller has requested. I mean, I would imagine those 47 states don't have the same MBE requirements that we do, and that may have been part of the problem. But appreciate the concern.
Well, maybe
I agree with it, not protecting incumbents, and that's. I know you've put it out for bid multiple times and had to reject people for multiple reasons, but we do want to try to make sure we get competitive bids.
Yeah. So, okay. No, I'm fine. I'm going to vote for this, but I have another question on 33 and 35, thanks, which is our state elections commissioner.
Yes. We have Administrator Lamone and members of her team available to answer questions.
Okay, so I appreciate Secretary Brakely, if he's on the call, but also Governor Hogan, adjusting the splitting the cost of poll books and related election equipment 50-50 with the counties. I think that's a big improvement. And but since the administrator is here, Administrator Lamone, thank you for having your team available. Could I just comment on the past 35 years that I've been in elected office? Every election, we have something concerning, not even if it's not your agency, Linda, it's the county equivalents to you guys. There is just mismanagement of our elections, especially with mail-in ballots, long lines at the polls. It seems to happen every election for different reasons. And if you could just give us a brief overview of the preparations being made for 2022 as far as in-person voting, drop boxes, mail-in ballots, as well as provide assurance to us that come early voting and election day, the systems are going to perform as they should, and we're not going to have the same, I want to say kerfluffles, but it really is just mismanagement and somewhat chaos happening on these elections for different reasons. And I'm not suggesting that this is all the fault of your state agency. I'm just saying that for some reason, every election seems to be marred by this. And so what can you do to assure us?
Good morning, everyone. Governor, Mr. Controller, Treasurer, welcome to the Board of Public Works and Happy New Year, everyone. Thank you very much for the question. We have been rigorously planning for the upcoming election. We started
Administrator, I apologize. If you could just introduce yourself for the record, please.
I'm sorry. It's Linda Lamone, Administrator of Elections for the State of Maryland. We have started planning for the upcoming election probably 6 months ago. We have meetings a couple times a week with various staff members, and we're meeting regularly with the local boards of elections to prepare them for the June primary. As you can imagine, things are a little tense because we have to also implement the congressional and legislative redistricting plan for the June primary. That's of concern to me because of the time crunch that we're under, which is primarily driven by the federal law that requires us to have our ballots mailed out to our or sent out to our overseas and military voters 45 days prior to the election. And so with the legislative reapportionment and the congressional redistricting undoubtedly going to court, we're very concerned about the capacity of the local boards to get everything implemented, and we are working very diligently to help them do that. I think that we are well positioned, especially with the approval of the two items on the agenda today, to be in a position to be prepared for the June primary and, of course, the November gubernatorial election.
Thank you. And I don't know, how long have you been administrator, Linda?
I think it's 22 years.
Yeah, well, you know, no good deed goes unpunished in our business. So to the extent you can anticipate some of these things that you're not in control of and mitigate the long lines and the problems with the mail-in ballots, I would be obviously, I'm just speaking on behalf of ordinary Marylanders. But thank you for that. And I assume there'll be some follow-up with members of the board.
I'm sure, and we're always happy to respond.
Governor?
Yes, Mr. Treasurer.
Thank you, sir. I know, if I'm correct, we took item 34 off of the agenda, but in light of some of the controller's questions, I'm wondering, as it relates to the election, how is the delay from removing item 34, how is that going to impact the upcoming elections? Do we see that as being a problem?
In all honesty, I think we can handle it, Mr. Treasurer. The controller has some questions which we are preparing to answer to get him the answers to them. My only concern is the amount of changes that the local boards of elections are going to have to deal with. And if we need to be able to start working on item 34 as soon as possible while we have some resources available to us. But I'm confident that we can handle a couple weeks delay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are there other questions?
And that mostly involves the 2024 elections, I believe, but that's okay. We'll be looking at this in another 3 weeks.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Controller.
So I have a last item, item 30 on the DGS agenda. This is a request from the Maryland Department of Health to extend a contract with Telegen in Iowa for 1 year for services related to the review of medical necessity and medical eligibility of all participants receiving or requesting Maryland Medicaid fee for service benefits. The cost of the 1 year extension is approximately $10 million. I'm happy. I see Secretary Schrader is here. That's if he wants to register with us.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me, Mr. Controller?
Yep.
Governor and Mr. Treasurer, Mr. Controller, for the record, Dennis Schrader, Secretary of Health. This is a contract that is on the street and closes January the 18th. We had asked for original extension last year through January 31st of this year, and we've been pushing to get this contract done. At this point, the work will not be completed in time to get it reviewed, which is why we're here asking for an extension. We've been going through all of our contracts in the department and discovered that this one was going to be a problem and have been pushing on it. But unfortunately, and of course, I'm not happy about it, but it won't be done by the time of the extension, but the contract is the advertising closes on January the 18th.
Right. Well, I don't frankly have any issues with this particular item, but as someone who is deeply concerned about fraud, I wanted to take the opportunity to stress the importance of accounting for how taxpayer dollars are being dispersed, particularly through these social safety net programs that are created to assist our most vulnerable Marylanders. And I'm mentioning the fact that we've had four meetings of the Comptroller's work group on pandemic spending. Those have been incredibly full of data from the state agencies. And we've all become overwhelmingly aware of the alarming number of issues some state agencies have had with dispersing funds to vulnerable Marylanders, only for the money to end up in the hands of fraudsters. And I hear from all around the state of Maryland, an increasing number of innocent taxpayers are becoming victims of schemes used by very sophisticated criminals. This is not abuse of a system. This is very sophisticated criminal gangs breaking into our systems and causing disruptions, delays in payouts, some cases having their identity compromised. Yesterday, I was on the phone in a virtual meeting, a number of realtors, one of very prominent realtor from Prince George's County. She said, I keep getting letters from the Department of Labor saying that unemployment checks are being sent to me out of state. And I keep trying to call them and tell them, that's not me. That's a fraudster who's stolen my identity. But it goes on and on. And I'm not suggesting people aren't doing their jobs, but maybe Secretary Schrader, you could get back to the board about Medicaid fraud. And once again, I'm not talking about individuals who may abuse the system for whatever reason. I'm talking about organized attacks by criminal organizations. Not all of them are even in this country, And maybe you could help us understand what your agency's doing, but what some other agencies could be doing to monitor this situation. And once again, I'm not criticizing individual agencies. I just think that it's super important based on what we're finding with unemployment alone. And Maryland is not alone. This is a national issue. Every state is being hammered by this fraud. And to the extent we can require fraud detection procedures and maybe some kind of fraud detection center in the state, I think it would be, I think this is the right time to consider that, given how much has been looted from the U.S. Treasury and the Maryland Treasury. Once again, nobody's to blame. It's the lack of sophisticated algorithmic protective systems that the private sector has developed, and we need to partner with them on in order to protect our treasury. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Comptroller. Yes, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Secretary. I agree. It's a huge concern nationwide. We brought to the federal government's attention the unemployment fraud. It started the investigation across the country with, hundreds of billions of dollars worth of fraud. And we catch tens of thousands, close to 100,000 cases of fraud a week. I think we do have some pretty good protections in place, but there's no question there's serious fraud going on out there. And every agency needs to try to continue to stop it. At the federal and state and local level. Any other questions on DGS, or is there a motion?
If the treasurer doesn't have anything, I'm happy to move approval.
Second.
Very good. Well, 3-0. And that concludes our agenda. Thank you both. Happy New Year. It's great to have you on board, Mr. Treasurer. I'm very much looking forward to working with you, and we'll. I hope everybody stays safe, and we continue to keep moving the state forward. Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen.